You're listening to Eye on the Ball with Steve Rivera. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Eye on the Ball here. I am Steve Rivera, and you're watching or listening to 1030 The Voice. You got me all nervous, Ray. You do.
Why?
Just another day you introduced me to another guy. I'm so giddy. I'm excited show today. If I don't mess it up, we'll be okay.
Dude, you're the only thing that stands in the way between you and a good show.
How many times have I heard that? And usually I mess it up.
Nah, you're good, man.
Yeah. So, hey, we'll talk about some things right before we get to our first guest. It will be Bruce Pascoe of the Arizona Daily Star, if he hasn't fallen asleep and forgotten about the interview. And then we'll go to about 6:45 and then talk to Mr. Morales, Andy Morales of AllSportsTucson.com, talk about this week's playoffs, high school playoffs. Big deal. South Point's in them. There's a few schools, Cienega. And we'll get the update on what's going on with them. And we'll talk about, now we can talk about last night's basketball game. Did you watch the game?
I didn't. You know, I was.
You didn't?
No, I wish I did. I watched all the highlights, though. So
that's all you needed to see.
Yeah.
There's plenty of them, though.
I know. It was. I was busy last night, unfortunately, and I couldn't make it. But man, I wish I had seen it.
So I posted. I always go to the game and I post stuff. You know, blah blah blah. You know,
sure.
That's what the kids do today.
Yeah, blah blah blah.
So I posted something, and then, you know, midway through, like maybe a halftime or whatever, I said, God, I was ready to cry. It brought me back to the days of Lute Olson when they ran and they ran and they scored and they ran and they ran and they scored. It was like, holy moly, who took over Sean Miller's body? This was fantastic.
Maybe he watched the 05 footage from their loss to Illinois.
Yeah, that would have been a good funny question, but I don't think he did. And they outscored him. They did everything to him. And it was like, you know, in Lute's time when they would outscore you like 24-2? And then just bury you in the second half.
Oh, yeah.
They kind of did that last night. It was close to the first half, get a bucket or two. In fact, they barely took the lead at halftime on Hazard's last second shot. And then in the second half, they just killed them in the second half by 22 points, I think it was, 20 points. And they had a 15-0 run. And Lute's teams were notorious for that.
Yeah.
They just go on this great run, and then no one could catch them. And that's what they did. And they ran. And they ran.
Like
and they
fast.
Ran. Yeah, and you're thinking, holy moly, this could be a good sign. We'll talk to Bruce Pascoe about that. So, of course, in the press conference, I asked him, not once, not twice, about three times. I think at the third time, he became irritated with me, in a good way.
You really drove the point home.
I did. He said he made me know that, too. So we'll play that clip later on tonight, about 6:30 hour. But we'll talk to Bruce about that. But it was a great sign. I mean, we've always thought he has some great talent, correct?
Yeah.
Now he has the talent that allow him to do things that he's not used to doing.
Sure.
Which is play fast.
Yeah, and it seems like Mannion's really the guy that's going to be the engine behind that.
Completely correct. But he hasn't had a guy like Mannion since ever.
No.
You know, TJ was not this guy.
No, he wasn't.
He just
he was
ran
a little
the show.
Him.
Yeah, just exactly. No, exactly. So he has a guy, and then he has a sidekick in Josh Green.
Yeah.
And then he has a big dude who can run the court like Najee.
Yeah.
Jeez, what am I talking about? Here you go. See, here comes the crash.
Dude, you're fine. You're fine. So, you're doing good.
So yeah, don't give me praise. I'll mess it up. So he has three guys who can, and they're all freshmen, you know, still wet behind their ears, and they're going to do a lot of experimenting with these people. But they have a good group of returning. They're going to fill the holes. And he talked about that last night. He doesn't go deep in the lineup. You know, he's notorious for that. Not to say that he will, because, you know, you are who you are. But he has a good group of 10, 11 to choose from. Now he has to kind of find a way to get them all in. And one of the guys who runs very well is guy not even not even playing.
Oh, yeah.
He's suspended.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Devonir Dutrieve. So yeah. You add another spice to this, and you have a spice rack.
Well, the thing that really stood out to me looking at the stat sheet last night was just how well the freshman did point-wise.
62 points, at least the big three.
Yeah.
And then of the 80. But there was like even more so, there was only like 10 points scored by guys who were here last year. Everything else was from the new people.
Crazy.
Yeah, which is great. Which, you know what it means? Last year they were horrible.
Wasn't very good. That's what I thought. I looked at that and I was like, oh man, that just means we weren't very good.
Right. Or they left, whether they're gone. And people will forget about last year pretty quickly if they haven't already.
Oh yeah, they will.
Sorry I brought it up.
No, it's fine.
So that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And you know what else happened Saturday?
What?
Arizona didn't lose in football.
Yeah, exactly. They,
it was a tie in the bye. It was a tie in the bye.
It was a tie in the bye, so we barely scooted by.
Yeah, we won't put that in the standings. So now they go into Oregon this weekend, and I know Sumlin, will play a little about Sumlin highlights from my Go AZ guys. They're 24-point underdogs going in. Good luck with
that. Yeah.
Good luck with that. And the over-under 68. Oregon could have that by the middle of the fourth quarter.
Gosh, man.
I hate to be Debbie Downer, but I guess I am.
Well, you're just reality, man. I mean, come on. You were pretty realistic with the basketball team just now. You're happy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now you're being realistic with football.
I'm almost giddy. I feel like I'm 40 years old.
It really takes you back.
It takes me back. You get a napkin? I need a napkin to wipe my tears. Well, we'll see how long that lasts. But I think it's going to last longer than we know because he has the people to do it with. He'll pick and choose the teams to do that against. It was fun. Even the crowd, and I kind of mentioned to this as part of my clip, is the fans really got involved. It was not a sellout because you saw a lot of empty seats and a lot of people from Chicago area because there was a lot of orange in the building.
Yeah.
The most I've ever seen an opponent have in a building when they played against Arizona. And it was loud. It was loud in a weird way because they were excited to see this, I think.
Yeah, they're kind of like, wow, this brings me back.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know they fit 14,000 in there. I would assume, and I could be totally wrong, this is just my guesstimate, that of the 14,000, you know about 12,000 of those people, if not 11,000, 10,000, have been there forever.
Sure.
You know, and the rest have been there kind of spattering here and there.
Yeah.
Because they're old school loot guys.
It's like when someone plays that classic hit song that everyone likes.
Yeah, like my music, Stevie Wonder.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. So I'm sure that people or fans were pretty excited about it. If you want to call in, please do. 790-2040, and we can reminisce and talk about last night's game, talk about how it used to be when Arizona was running and stunning their way to some big victories. I think that, I can't wait to the Gonzaga game now.
When is that one?
The 14th of December. If I can remember correctly, I think it's here.
It's going to be a big game.
It's a huge game. Yeah, huge game.
At home?
I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's home. So that should be a lot of fun. I remember the North Carolina game back in the day, maybe 12 years ago, 11 years ago, one of Lute's last ones. It was expected to be huge. North Carolina killed them. Killed them here at home. So we're headed to a break here soon, but we got people calling. We'll see what happens. But good luck to the... Scott's going to call.
He didn't answer, so I don't know, man.
Oh, okay, that's cool. Oh, that was Scott. He called, but then he...
Yeah, and he hung up.
Okay. Scott, if you want to call back... Why don't you call back, Scott, if you want to? If you're listening, call after the 6:30 hour. I'm going to have Bruce on here. Let's take the break and we can track down Bruce. Is that cool?
Sounds good, man.
Okay, let's go. Thank you. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 10:30 The Voice. I'm your host, Steve Rivera. In with me is my guy, Ray.
Yeah, we got some tech problems here, man. I'm sorry. I'm trying to get the callers in, but it's not working.
The jinx. It's not working. Okay, got it. So we'll get a hold of Bruce when we can. We can't get any callers in, so we'll just talk. I was very impressed with a lot of the guys. I mean, come on, Hazard went in, did what he needed to do. You had Baker doing the same thing. God, the only guy that I was questionable, although I still love him. I still like the way he plays, is Ira Lee.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's kind of like your pit bull, bulldog / hard worker. I like the way he plays. He's one of my favorites for a weird reason. I don't know.
What about Chase?
Chase was just kind of just there. I think he complements Zeke pretty well, don't you think? He's not a dominant force. That's not what he's built for, but he's a complement to Zeke.
Sure.
Which I think that his temperament fits perfectly with that. You know, he's not an ego guy. He just wants to win. He's a thin guy. He's not a bulky guy. So I think that Sean has a lot to work with. if he can find the right mix of players and the chemistry or whatever, that's another thing that was very apparent, that there's some good chemistry. I know you can't really kind of take everything into account just two games in, but you can see it. Heck, what, 5 games in 2 years ago with all the Trier and the Eaton and the Alkin, you knew that that wasn't going to work. They went to Bahamas and got beat pretty bad for 3 straight games. That's not this team. This team is going to be exciting to watch. Everyone says, oh, if they continue to play well, blah, 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 they'll go deep. I don't know what the heck that means, because deep is deep. And, you know, is it Sweet 16, Elite 8, Final Four, yada, yada. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. And Bruce just texted me.
Yeah, I want to get him on, man. Have him. Let me give him a call in a sec. We'll try another option.
Okay. So we'll see what happens. So there's good news and bad news. The basketball team looks like it's going to do well, or even better than what people think. The women's basketball team plays again this week, and they're going to be good, or a lot better than they were last year. And last year they were really good in winning the title. So I have to get out and watch them play. Should be fun to watch. And then football, well, you know, it is what it is. Coach Sumlin had his press conference today, and we'll show some clips of that, or present some clips of that at 6:30 once we get our technical difficulties fixed here. And I can't say call in because we can't, because that's our problem. We're getting phone issues, or we have phone issues. What else going on? Monday Night Football tonight. I got away from the score here. I think they start here any second now. Actually, they just did 0-0 Seattle and San Francisco. Should be a good game between two fairly good teams. It was a weird weekend at the NFL because a lot of upsets and a lot of the bad teams won. And like I say, I have no dog in the fight when it comes to the NFL. Looks like we're still going to have trouble. I can't hear you.
Let's see if Bruce is on the line. Go ahead.
Bruce, are you there?
Yeah, I can hear you guys just fine.
Oh, great. Hey, great. Great to see you, Bruce. Good to see you yesterday. Did you, what were your impressions of yesterday? What were the impressions of the game one, and what was the biggest surprise to you?
I don't know if it's a real surprise, but I think just Nico Mannion's, the way he played, just being under control and playing all the way around, showing a lot of maturity for a guy who was basically playing his second college game and his first really big game. And just, I mean, I'd seen him before. I watched the Hoop Summit. I went to the McDonald's game. I've seen him at Pinnacle High, and I knew he could do it. But, you know, I mean, it's one thing. And then to come out and see that happen on the stage there, McHale, that was something else, the way he operated that team. And, you know, both in playmaking, you know, just all over, you know, the way he shot, the discipline he showed and all that. But, you know, I think in general, obviously, you know, if you put all three of those freshmen together and 62 points, I mean, that just doesn't usually happen. Even in today's game of college basketball, you don't see that too often.
Yeah. The Fab Three.
Yeah.
So that was go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, Arizona over the years has had tremendous freshmen and who are capable of these kind of things. But it's interesting, this team, these guys may be the best players, and it may be that way all year. And that's a really interesting dynamic, especially when you got 4 5th-year seniors who are, you know, on the other side of their careers, where, you know, how that chemistry is going to go. You know, it's really, really interesting.
Sure.
Team they have this year.
Yeah, no question. So the biggest surprise to me, though I do like what you're thinking, is the run and stun move by Sean Miller. I mean,
yeah. You had a great point asking about that last night. I actually borrowed a little bit of that conversation for the story I did today, just because I thought it was really interesting. Not only did Miller, you know, agree that he wants this team
right.
to run, and he, you know, when I asked him, he said he actually felt more comfortable with this team running
right.
than possibly any team he's had, which is really significant. But I thought the line he gave you, where he said,
Do
you want me to run faster? I thought that was hilarious. And, you know, he knows what people like.
Sure.
And he knows what works well, and he knows what works well for this team. But as we all know, he's not going to give up his defensive principles.
Right.
In some cases, that's going to lead to a little bit slower tempo. And, you know, it's just, I mean, I looked up today, for example, he's got just two games. There's only two games to sample from, but they're averaging 14.1 seconds on offensive possessions, and I believe holding the opponent to 18.6 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so there's a pretty big spread there, and the 14, usually his teams hold it for, they have more, I think the average over the years I looked at was generally around 17.5 seconds, so he's 3 seconds faster. And granted, a lot of that was probably last night and all the steals they got and boom, going down and, you know, making a quick play, that brings the average down quite a bit. But just in general, it's it is, you're right, it is a different style that we saw out there, and it will be really interesting to see, you know, if they continue in other ways besides just converting rebounds or quick turnovers into quick buckets, you know, because Nico was saying that they've been working on trying to get into their sets faster and move everything faster. That's really the key to me. Does that actually happen in the long run, and what does this team look like?
No question. I think it's going to be more fun for you to cover here on the road. Back, it harkens back to the days when you and I covered the team, me for the Citizen, you for the Star, doing these types of stories when they ran all the time.
Yeah. I mean, that's like a distant memory now. And, you know, and Miller has had teams that run a little bit over the years, but it's different. And again, a lot of it is because of his philosophy, and especially on defense. And, you know, I mean, it's a different deal, it'll be really interesting to see, especially if they get into some teams that are trying to slow down, throw a lot of zone at them. If they, you know, granted Illinois tried that a little bit last night, but just to see if they can keep up that rhythm, like, you know, the all season long consistently.
One of the things too, and we've talked about this maybe on the side, not in front of anybody, but how casual he is, you know, even when he and I had that exchange, he laughed a little about it when he asked me that. And I says, well, I've been hoping this for 10 years. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I mean, he's, you know, it's funny because I've had a couple conversations with him that, you know, every now and then, you know, I'll get a chance to talk to him one-on-one, and it is kind of a little bit of a sensitive issue, because I think he feels like, you know, he runs when it's called for, but he talked a lot about, for example, when I asked him about it, he's talking a lot about, well, when he had DeAndre Ayton and Larry Markkanen, does it make sense for me to push the ball? Of course it doesn't in a lot of cases. That was his argument. So, you know, he gets a little sensitive about it. It was actually good to see that he kind of laughed at it this time, and he's comfortable with it maybe. And, you know, not so, you know, aware of that, you know, it is a people pleasing thing. Cause as you said, that atmosphere last night was like a mid-season game against Oregon, it felt like in there. And I think part of it was, it was Illinois, and then, you know, it was a big-time conference team they were playing, but also that pace, it was, people get into it. You get a, you know, they have, 14 steals, and they got 20 points off turnovers, and every one of those points off turnovers generally gets the fans going.
No question.
They would love to, you know, I'm sure he would love to see more of that.
What about the third surprise? I thought that Josh Green, and you've seen him more than I have, obviously outside of this, but he hit some shots and he looked fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, it's always been, the knock on him has always been that he's this great athlete and can dunk and can just come out of nowhere and jump out of the gym, that kind of thing, kind of like a Nick Johnson.
Well, you know who described? Richard Jefferson.
Yeah, actually, that's a really good comparison. Richard was, he wasn't a great scorer off the bat, defensive player, and sort of developed a little bit. And I believe you would remember, but I believe his junior year before he left, he still only averaged like
12.7
points or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. It was like, and he was a lottery pick. So, you know, I always thought that RJ would be a great recruiting tool to tell kids who are or great retainment tool to keep your players happy when they're not scoring much, and say, hey, look, Richard Jefferson only scored 11 points and still got to the NBA as a lottery pick or whatever. But anyway, I digress. But the fact is that, yeah, he is a little bit like that. He's a little bit like Nick Johnson, but maybe even a little better offensively thin Nick was as a freshman. I seem to recall Nick got most of his scoring, early on in transition and dunking and, layups and just beating guys. And he developed that a little bit better. And, of course, he developed a lot defensively, which Miller would like Josh Green to do. But I think you saw last night and that Green can shoot a little bit. And that's sort of been the knock on him ever since I remember seeing him as a recruit, in his like junior in high school, everybody's saying how great he was athletically, but he couldn't shoot that well. And, he worked on that a little bit last year at IMG. Right.
Can you stick around for after the break, or do you have got to go?
Sure.
Okay. We'll come back here after the break. Thanks. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, on with the affable and friend of mine, Mr. Bruce Pascoe of the Daily Star. If anybody like to call in, we got our phones fixed, so it's 790-2040. So what would you be your fourth thing? You've seen Zeke play a few times, so he's kind of like the guy. He's not Lauren Woods. He's not... I don't know. He said he was like more like Williams, which is kind of like weird. But
I was going to ask you what you thought about that, because Miller made that comparison after NAU.
Jordan Hill. Jordan Hill to me. Jordan
Williams.
Jordan Hill. A cross between Donnell Harris.
He can score a lot better than Jordan could as a freshman, don't you think?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. But his body type is the long Donnell Harris with his floppy hair and his eyes, and then he has kind of like that Pinder athletic ability, and then he has that. He has the one I just said. Who did I just say? Jordan Hill. He's way more. He's way more athletic. He's better than all that. Better than all three. It's just a combination of all of them.
Yeah. I think Jordan Hill was a little more, I don't know. He struck me a little more raw and kind of powerful.
Yes. Yes.
See. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But Zeke may be a little tougher than you'd think, we'll see if it develops. But, maybe he does get to be like a Derek Williams in the sense that he can be pretty agile and, remember how Williams used to take passes that were way off the mark and he'd bend way over like he was a Gumby or something and then managed to, in the same motion, dunk it or something. It was insane what he did at times. And, maybe Najee has a little bit of that. There's certainly a comparison to Williams in that they both sort of arrived a little bit under that radar. They were solid four-star players, but not even the highest rated players in their class. Remember Derek Williams, I think in that class that Miller scrambled together when he got hired, I believe he was the fourth rated player out of five guys or something. And he turned out to be the best by far, and the number two pick in the draft. So, it's been really interesting. There was kind of a buzz about him in the preseason that he was kind of the best post player, and he won their practice jersey, their gold jersey, a couple of weeks. But you never really knew. Is he really that good, or are they just, is it legit? But it certainly seems legit. And like I said before, it's going to be really interesting to see if three freshmen end up carrying this team, most of the season.
Right. Well, you know what? They have a great mix of freshmen and upperclassmen because of Hazard and some of the other guys, and obviously Chase is going to get lost in all this, but I don't think Chase really matters. I don't know if he really cares about that. I know he cares, but it's not a big thing for him.
Well, there's two guys, right? Yeah, it does seem like Stone Gettings and Mac Tazard came knowing they'd kind of be in certain roles. And I think they're the kind of guys that seem pretty unselfish. And I think they wouldn't be a problem, but I always think maybe Chase and maybe Devin Air Dutrieve, if he sticks around, are the kind of guys you look at and you say, are they okay with this? Because they're going to have more limited roles too. Jeter is going to be counted on for what he can do, certainly, but he's maybe not going to have the numbers that Zeke is collecting and not going to get that attention. And at the same time, he's a fifth-year senior who's trying to make a run for the NBA or a good contract somewhere at this point. And that can create pressure. All indications are he's he's a good guy and people like him and all that. But, you know, when there's pro careers on the line, it can really test chemistry sometimes.
Oh, no question. I think, and that's no question. You and I have been here long enough to know that that's part of the biggest problem. When you have too many problems with agendas and things like that. And that's crushed many a team.
Yeah, we saw that even a couple of years ago. Yes. With Raleigh Alkins and Alonzo Trier, they don't seem to dislike each other necessarily, but there was some body language on the court where you could see they were not happy with something that happened and, didn't get the ball in the situation or whatever. And that can wear on them. And you remember when Trier got re-eligible as a sophomore and started playing well, and Kobe Simmons kind of got drummed off the end of the bench, and he's still a borderline NBA player. He wasn't even in the rotation. I mean, there's just weird things can happen, and it seems like this team has a pretty good personalities, and the egos are in line, but it is November, and those things, can change and get into February. In fact, even Miller said this once.
Yes.
Said, I remember one time, I think it was one of Nick Johnson's years when they were, I think one of the years when they were like 14-0 or whatever entering Christmas. And he says, a lot of things, actually, I think it might've even been that 12-13 year when they were undefeated or they won the Diamond Head tournament in Hawaii. Everything was great. And Miller foreshadowed it by saying, sometimes guys go home for Christmas and their families are talking to them. People are telling them they got to get the ball. They come back, things change. And sure enough, that team, still finished pretty well, but struggled after a while after being so good early when they had, great chemistry and everything seemed to be clicking. But, something happened and, we'll see if it does with this team. Maybe it won't. It's a very unique mix of freshman talent and fifth year seniors and with a couple of guys, like Ira Lee and Dutrieve kind of sprinkled in there.
Right, right. I think at some point too that we'll see Devin Ayer, and that'll bring more talent to the table. The funny thing about it, he's also going to have to do something he typically doesn't do. I'm not sure he has to do, but he's going to have 10, 11 quality players. Can he go deep into his bench? He talked about it last night, but can he do this? Because that's not who he is.
Right. Yeah. I don't. It's hard to see. I think he said something about if they do end up running a lot, they can use their depth, and maybe that involves Dutrieve because, he's the one guy who's, whether it's him or Max, that's the one position that really seems the most crowded if he comes back. And so maybe if they do run a lot, maybe he can sub a little more guys in there, but it's hard to see him doing a lot of that because you're right. The track record, most coaches don't really change their stripes on that. They like, and Sean Miller's shown many, many times that once Pac-12 play comes around, he likes his eight guys, pretty much usually every year, sometimes the ninth. And then maybe a tenth as a role player. And that's probably how it'll play out with this team. I would think, Stone Gettings may end up getting a regular rotation role, but he can certainly play.
Right.
He'd certainly be valuable in spots. And, I think Christian Coloco didn't even get in the game last night. That's a sign that he's probably not going to be in the regular rotation, but he also, he can maybe be a role player in some spots. Certainly he can, certain matchups. I think last night's matchups was a tough one with him because he would have gave up about 80 pounds on Kofi Cockburn if he had to play in there. They weren't going to do that. But maybe in some other matchups it works for him. Maybe against Kyler Kelly of Oregon State, for example, he's a good matchup. And, so he could play a role. But, yeah, I got to think as far as regular rotation, it's going to be eight and a half guys when all said and done.
Right, right. And there's a lot of road between now and then to see what's going to happen. I think that a lot of people came away more optimistic than they were beginning of the year, and I don't know how good Illinois truly is, but it's going to be a funny. It's going to be a fun race. I think, did you pick them fourth in the league?
Yeah, I actually, I don't know if optimism is the word for me, but I actually would rate them higher now. But, when I made that pick, I picked them fourth. And that was partly because of the Pac-12. I thought the Pac-12 would be better, and so far it is. 18-1 collectively, and the one loss is ASU losing to Colorado. So they're really undefeated against other conferences at this point. And so there's that. But I also think even then I might move them up to third or second at this point because they got since that the pick went out, they've gotten Jamal Baker eligible, and I think that's a big key because it allows it takes a little pressure off Mannion, and also he's a pretty good he's pretty capable off the ball as well, and then and I think Najee frankly is better than anybody expected, at least so far. So between those two factors, you got to look like Arizona looks maybe like a little notch higher than probably they did a month ago.
Right, which of course makes for a lot of maybe just more happier faces, maybe a bigger crowd. The crowd wasn't that good last night, which is kind of strange because it didn't sell out. But it was great when they watched the team run. Right. Yeah.
Well, you hear the Miller worked in some reference to the student section. We need to get those last couple pieces in there. I think there were some regular seats that weren't sold, but it was about 13,000 or so.
Yeah.
That, wasn't capacity, yeah. But most of the empty seats were in the student section. And I think that's been a problem over the years,
yeah.
As you've seen come and go. But that's something that I'm sure that bugs him. He'd like to see that thing full.
Yeah.
And it wasn't quite there, but if this team keeps playing that well, that should help. That should help. The only thing against it is they're going to have some games coming up, but not name brand teams coming in, and that might be a tougher sell.
Right. Well, if you want tickets, go get them now because they might be available. Hey, Bruce, thanks for joining me. We'll probably if you can talk to me more on a semi-weekly basis, that'd be great.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I did provide all the your content for tomorrow's paper, apparently.
It's especially for follow-up second day stories, it's fun to take something that's just kind of have a little fun with it, and that clearly was not only fun, but it kind of again talked about what the issue here is with this team. Are they going to run, and is he comfortable with that? And that was a really cool way to tell that story anyway. So just kind of jumped out at me, and we'll see. It'll be an ongoing story their pace. Yeah.
All right. Thanks a bunch, Bruce. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, no problem.
See you this
Thanks.
Week. All right, take care.
Okay.
That was Bruce Pascoe of the Daily Star. We got to go take a break here on 1030 The Voice. Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball here on 1030 The Voice. I'm Steve Rivera, your host. And now on the phone we have Andy Morales of AllSportsTucson.com, one of the hardest working journalists in town. You don't sleep. I'm sure you rarely eat. You have no time. You're out chasing games.
I have an IV right now in my arm.
So. That's about right. I think I've seen that IV. So, hey, big weekend every weekend's a big weekend, but this weekend the playoffs continue for high school sports. How many teams left, local?
Okay, so Friday night we have, 1, 2, 3, we have 6 football teams left. 4 of those are more in the Tucson area. We have a couple of smaller schools left in the 2A, but there are Benson and Santa Cruz in the outlying area. But basically, South Point, Cienega, Saguaro, and Sabino are left.
Yeah, so that did you go to the Cienega game last weekend? I know.
No, Javier did. Cienega scored 2 touchdowns in the last minute or so to win that game.
Yes. Tell me, what did you hear of the after effects of that game?
Well, Sunny Slope was one of the beat them early in the year. Cienega came back and even the score. I think they're riding a high. Nugent has their team going, but they're going to visit number 2 Notre Dame, 10-1. They're going to have another game cut out for them. And with the open division, this is it. Cienega gets past this. There's no saying what's going to happen in that 5A.
Mm-hmm. And then you have South Point doing their thing.
Yeah, South Point's number 4 in the open division. They're already in the quarterfinals. So what you have is the best 8 team in 8 football teams in the state playing each other. And South Point's hosting Pinnacle, 8-2, South Point's 9-0. The thing about this game is people, if they really want to see South Point, this is their last chance, because I'm assuming this is going to be the closest game of the year so far. So the starters will be in most of the game, all those D1 athletes, the children of U of A stars, Bijan Robinson, Benet's last year coaching at South Point. It's all going to be wrapped into one there.
Yeah, should be a lot of fun. Are you a believer? And I just lost my train of thought as usual. But because no one's really tested South Point, correct?
No, not really.
So are you a believer that because they haven't been tested, that's going to be a detriment to them?
It could be.
That doesn't tell me anything. Could be either it's a yes or a no.
Well, CDO tested them for a half.
Okay. What was the score for the
came out?
What was the score of the half?
Came out. I believe it was within a touchdown.
Oh, okay. Points, okay.
But South Point came out and just blasted them away. I mean, which you're dealing with, you have about, you know, 6 to 8 legitimate D1 athletes. The Phoenix teams have like 20, 21, so that just shows you the difference. But, you know, Bijan's healthy. He's huge. Lathan Ransom's huge. And Javier did a story this morning on Regina and Reitzman and Strong. And there's also Fina, all sons of U of A athletes.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a real team. So they've been testing in practice. It's just hard to say what will happen when Pinnacle comes out there. It's South Point's never played from behind, so I don't know. I really don't know what to expect if South Point's from behind.
Is South Point better this year than they were last year?
Oh yeah, by far.
So just because they're in open league now, that's the difficult part.
Yeah, it's their luck that they create an open division, but they would have been the favorites in 4A, but then you have Scottsdale Saguaro that would have been 4A also. So they would have been stuck together. If it wasn't for Scottsdale Saguaro, South Point would be working on their fourth straight championship.
Well, if it wasn't for my jeans, I would be a very handsome man.
One team holding it back each time. One team.
Yes, I get it. Okay,
you mean like your Levi jeans?
Yeah. Those are the jeans. No, not really. But you like their chances of getting out of this game at least.
Oh yeah, I think this is very good. The next game, I hope they're not looking past this, would be presumably against Chandler, which I think they're in the top 20 nationally. So that's going to be a very difficult game for South Point. That game is going to be probably the game of the year to watch. But this one's going to be definitely good. And also Gila Ridge at number one Saguaro. You know, if people live on the east side of town, go out and support Saguaro and fill those bleachers up, because that's going to be a good game for Scott McKee, an ex-U of A athlete, you know, doing great stuff with the Cougars there.
Where are you going to be?
I'm going to be at South Point.
Yeah, how could you miss that opportunity?
Along with probably 25 media guys.
Yeah, you know what? In fact, I might go Saturday. That's Friday night. I might go watch them play. I hadn't watched them all year. Actually, last 2 years.
Yep.
So.
And Bijan, you know, and we did all this research whenever you read someone else. He's 26 yards away from becoming the only rusher in Arizona history to have 3 2,000-yard seasons. And he's 2 touchdowns away from holding the touchdown record in the state for everybody. But he has the big school rushing record.
Does he run track after this? What does he do after this?
No, he's not going to run track.
Did he before?
No, they were going to do it as freshmen. You know, they have Carla Garrett out there.
Yeah.
And there are times in the off season they would he and Lantham would probably win state championships in the 100 and the 200, and then the relay would definitely win. But they're concentrating in college now. Of course, Bijan's Texas and Lathan Ransom in Ohio State. So,
mm-hmm. So what's the next biggest game? There's 4 games.
The next biggest game after the South Point game would be Gila Ridge at Saguaro. Saguaro's number 1 in 4A. And then you have number 7 Siena against number 2 Notre Dame in 5A.
That's Phoenix? Is that Phoenix?
Yeah, it's in Phoenix, Notre Dame up there, Notre Dame Prep. And then number 10 Sabino at American Leadership Quinn Creek. That's number 10 and number 2. That's going to be a very difficult game for Sabino. And then, of course, you have Benson at Round Valley. That's going to be a difficult game for 2A. And Santa Cruz ranked 4th in 2A, you know, just up there in Eloy, just a little bit north of us. They're probably going to cruise in that game. They have a good shot of winning the state championship in the 2A division. And that's pretty much it. Now, all we have left in fall is cross-country championships on Saturday. And then the winter season officially starts with basketball and wrestling and your favorite soccer. And And that's where we're at. We're in this transition phase right now.
Right, right. So soccer starts here in about 2 weeks, right? Because the games are here around Thanksgiving.
Kids are posting that they've been named captains. South Point girls are probably going to win it again. South Point boys are going to challenge. Catalina Foothills. Girls and boys are going to be pretty good. Sunnyside's going to be good because they're keeping the kids home instead of going to that Real in Casa Grande.
Right.
So it's going to be a great, and of course wrestling with Sunnyside and some of the other surrounding schools.
Right. So
Mountain View.
You better not sleep. You have 4 months to rest up, or later on when you're.
Well, this is actually the winter time is the rest because there's like six sports in the spring and six sports in the fall. So it's winter time is the time where I actually get a chance to rest a little bit, but not too much. Basketball pretty much every night.
Right, right, right. Well, you love it. You do it for a reason.
Yep.
Yeah, okay. So I might see you at South Point Friday night. I'm not too sure. Where's Javier going to be?
He's probably going to be at South Point, too. I think we're going to hit that game hard. He might go to Saguaro, but, you know, who would want to miss South Point in their first open division, you know, game?
So right, that
may not happen again.
Yeah, no. So I guess I might be there, too. It'd be like we can't have, you know, three guys like from us visiting. So could be trouble. Could be trouble.
Yeah.
But I'll see you there. Okay, Andy,
They may put you in the game.
They don't want me in the game disabled list. I'll be on the disabled list. Okay, Andy, we'll talk to you later this week. Good luck. Thank you.
All right. Take care.
Yes,
bye.
That was Andy Morales of AllSportsTucson.com, kind of giving us the breakdown of the high school scene this weekend. Big games. We're almost done here. Did you stay awake for me, Tom? Not Tom. Who are you? What's your name?
Ray.
Yes, I only have you for another day here.
I know. I was awake, man, the whole time.
I know. You're busy.
All busy trying to fix all the problems around here.
I know. I saw that. Thank you. We got the phones. How'd you do the Bruce? How did Bruce get in?
We use a little backup system we have.
Nice. You know all the tricks.
That's right, man.
All the tricks. Yeah, no, cool. So he kind of agreed to me. It's they're going to run, or maybe not. What game does not make this happen?
No.
I think we'll see. There's 30-some games. I think we'll see it. I think we'll see about half of them where he'll do that, where he's capable. And, you know, I'm sure there's some still hesitation.
Probably depends on also who he's playing.
Who the team they're playing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, no question. Illinois kind of fed right into it. They looked good. I think they had a nice little lead early, and then Arizona woke up and then kind of brought it back.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the Pac-12 is going to be fun to watch this year. Oregon, Washington, Colorado, ASU, Arizona, and maybe another team or two. I don't know.
Before it, man.
Yeah, it should be fun. I can't remember the last time I said that. Maybe 3 or 4 years ago. Outside of 2 years ago when they had one of the most talented teams ever here with DeAndre and Trier and Alkins and then just pooped.
Was it like 4 years ago when the Pac-12 was just loaded?
And then didn't do anything?
Yeah.
It's been a while. Well, remember in 17, Arizona should have gone to the Final Four. That's when they got beat by Xavier and Zaga went to the Final Four, and that's when the Final Four was in Phoenix. We'll see what happens. It's going to be fun. The fun part of it is not knowing, but knowing there's a chance. And that makes
for
better
stories. So you're saying there's a chance.
I think this is probably the most optimistic I've been for Sean's teams in a while. And you know me. I'm never optimistic.
Dude, no.
No. Thanks for having me here. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow here on 1030 The Voice. Thank you, Ray.
You're welcome, man.